Ladies and gentlemen, we present a radio program in English.
I don't like it, Adam, sir.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
And now, on London Taxi Radio, it's the Mick the Brit broadcast with Mick the Brit, broadcasting from a secret location south of the river. And here's your host,
Mick the Brit.
Oh, General, thank you so much.
Well, there you are, and what a week it's been, with lots to talk about. First and foremost, thank you for downloading this and helping the growing audience. You're not on your own there, there's one or two others that listen as well, but thank you for allowing us to be squeezed out and into your lug holes. Well, as I said, there is lots to talk about, so let's get to it, shall we?
I feel that I am speaking to friends and companions.
I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman with a sense of history, and I'm also a Londoner. Today is a day of great historical significance for London.
We are on a war footing. In all sorts of ways. I don't know where to start. But you know what? I just need to chill. Hopefully you need to chill. There's been so much happening this week. So let's, for a moment, just forget about, are we going to have a new Prime Minister? The Brexit deal? The battle for Tooley Street? Are they going to support us or not? It's not about the lanyards, etc. What are the ostriches going to do? Come on, let's listen to Richard Ashcroft and put things into perspective.
We are on a rock, spinning silently, but I'm safe when you're with me. These questions I'm asking, baby, haunting me. I need some security, can't you see? Her love was like a fountain, rushing and pouring out. Darkness is putting out the light in me. She's a will to be dug. She's a university, a cosmic library. Wait and see. Won't you get close to me? We are on a rock, spinning in infinity. Won't you get close to me? Is my dreams they have made me? Is it the things I took? Is it the things I said? This common rule.
Oh,
Richard Ashcroft, Science of Silence.
I've called a demo, they're calling it. I think you'll find it is on the 26th, starting the 26th, at the same time, same spot it was last time it was called. And I'll keep you posted.
I just can't wait for all the mushrooms out there who have been fed shit and kept in the dark. They'll be on Twitter, all the trolls, they'll be all over social media. This is in the wrong place. It's the wrong time of day. We shouldn't do it here. Let's block all the bridges. Let's do that. Let's do this. We don't know what we're doing. Demos don't work. They've never worked. Blah, 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 blah. It'll go on and on and on. Who can blame the ITA from the last time standing down after all the stick they got on social media? Don't forget, this is in a large organisation, the ITDA. Although they've got 2,000 members, they've only got 500 that are actually active and will turn up at the drop of a hat. You still got them ones that go, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it. The traffic was really bad. Or, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it. I had to take my mother-in-law to the doctors and all stuff like that. And yet, they're the ones who are out there. They go out the airport and they work out the airport so they don't get seen. You know, if you're going to have a demo, if the trade is going to call for a demo, then everyone's got to turn up. Not the same 500 time after time after time. Because in the end, they'll give up. And when they give up, there'll be no one left to fight for you.
What about the famous meeting that never was or never is and never will be with Mike Brown? Onside Mike. What would a trade org say to him? Because whilst he's saying, oh, he'll say, even if they got him in, he'll say, yeah, I don't agree with what they're doing at Tooley Street. And then as soon as they walk out the door, he'll say, send a letter to the department that's doing Tooley Street consultation to carry on and ignore the cab trade. This man is a turncoat. This man cannot be trusted. Well, you can prove he can't be trusted because he talks to McNamara. That's proof enough for me.
It's the same year after year after year. It's no different this year. I mean, last year I was posting all stuff about demonstrations. We had demonstrations at the Bank Junction. We had them at St Pancras and stuff like that. And they was working. We was asked to stop doing them by the LTDA and their policy of wait and see. And we've been waiting and seeing for far too long now. But let's not forget the drivers out there on social media who have said, this is the best year I've ever had. Oh, what a wonderful summer. I've never taken so much money. These are the same drivers that now want to sue Uber for compensation. They've got about as much chance as I'm not going into it, I'm sorry. That's my fault on it. You know, it's everything we're up against now. It's got nothing to do with any of the orgs or who's the best org or who's the best leader. It's down to the drivers. It's the drivers' fault. They've let this happen. Over the 9 years that I've been running my blog and I've been active as in the RMT and in the UCG as ranks and highways officer and different bits and pieces, it's always been the drivers. You don't get any support. They're too busy working. It's as simple as that. They're blind to the future. They don't realise what's going to happen in the future. They don't realise that TfL's Project Horizon is to get rid of you. That's what they want. They want you gone from the streets. And until you get that into your head, we're never going to get anywhere.
Well, Bob Crowe said it at the airport. You can't fight without an army. You could have Field Marshal Montgomery leading the cab trade. You could have Genghis Khan leading the cab trade. It would make a tuppence worth of difference because, let's be honest about it, it's not just the money and the work. Most of them have got no bottle.
All right, so you heard there from our London Taxi Radio VOC, Voice of the Cabbie. The blue touch paper has been lit. It's now battle for Tooley Street, Bank Junction, etc., etc. Enough is enough. And we managed to get an interview here with Mr. Grant Davis. Grant Davis, been a busy old week this week. I don't know where to start. So tell us how the week started for you and just put some meat on the bones here. Go on.
Meat on the bones. Well, it was really busy. It started on Sunday with Remembrance Sunday.
Yes.
Getting down to help pick the Gurkhas up at Plumstead, bring them into Remembrance Sunday at Parliament Square on the bridge, Westminster. Brought a few over from Waterloo Station. Parked up, and you know, I put some lovely little periscopes when it was 11 o'clock. I filmed it. Loads of great cab drivers there, actually. You know, it's it was really lovely meeting cabbies who you don't have chance to speak to when you see them out on the road. They come up, hello, mate, how's it going? Lovely people like Francis, you know, Mike, who does poppy cabs. Oh, it's really nice. Really nice. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, the weather, it was nice and sunny as well. I was beautiful. On duty, shall we say, with my own British Legion Club, where we all met up and we all marched from the club to the church. And then I was given the honour of placing a wreath at a World War One soldier who managed to be repatriated back here to the cemetery here at the church. Yeah, and there was about 11 people from the First World War that are in the cemetery where we at the back of the church of where we go to. So before the service kicked off, I laid a wreath there, as indeed the rest of us did.
Yeah.
And then we went in for the service. So you, I guess, once you've taken the guys there, I guess you, what do you do? All wait around, do you, on Westminster Bridge? Or?
Yeah, but they park you up and you're all coned off for the return journeys. And you just get out the cabs and then walk around with the public. Go and see the old array of old vintage taxis. That's always lovely to see.
Yes.
Oh, I love them old cabs.
Yeah.
See, again, talk to the guys who own these cabs. They love them. So they really, when they tell you that lovely minute detail, Mick, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And again, if it's interesting. It's a part of the trade that's really interesting. So, you know, I love having a chat and finding out a bit more than I did.
Yeah. Somebody lit a fuse here somewhere, Grant, on Monday or Tuesday, and then you went vocal and public, didn't you, go on. What was that about? Just fill us in with that. Remind
basically,
us.
Well, basically, Mick, thanks for that, but basically, this is the start of our TFL Mean to Go On, yeah?
Yeah.
They put a consultation in. That's fine. They do consultations all the time. But instead of it being like a consultation on road traffic management and all that, now what they're all starting to say, and I've had it again, I can't say too much.
No,
but
no.
It looks like they're going to try and ban us from Oxford Street as well now. One of my reps has just come out of a meeting today.
Yep.
But with Tooley Street.
Yes, Tooley
again,
Street. They want to stop Tooley us going Street. Down Tooley Street. They want to ban...
They do.
So it's only buses and cycles, is it?
Yeah, Nirvana, according to the mayor and the cycling groups. Yeah. So I don't know where it leaves us. If you're trying to pick up at the London Bridge Hospital or dropping off, you've got a Hilton Hotel down there.
Yep.
More London, which has got so much business.
That's right.
Companies. The Bermondsey Street rank is well busy, yeah? You've got the Mayor's, you've got City Hall.
Yeah.
So, big places that people want to go.
Yep.
And again, TFL have come out and said, yeah, this would be great with buses and cycles, and that would be really great. Well, not, it ain't going to be great for us.
No.
And if I'm honest, Mick, I mean, I was thinking about it, and I was in the cab out working, and I just parked up, and I just thought, oh, I'm so angry.
I can see that.
I'm having this.
Good for you.
I just thought, not that we get anything for being the whistleblowers. Yeah, we the club's whistleblowed stuff for years, whether it's FOI requests at TFL, whether it's Halo getting a private hire licence, yeah?
Yeah, I remember
that. We just come out and tell the trade what's going on.
Yes.
You know, and I feel that as a trade org and as a trade, for want of a better word, like the leader of it, I need my members to know what's going on and what I feel, my opinion.
Yeah.
And it is total bollocks, Mick. We're sorry to use
you're absolutely right. It is.
And like I mentioned in my periscope, if they start stopping us going around places, we're just going to and say you can't use them bus lanes. You can't. Mate, we'd be no better than a minicab. Yeah?
No, that's right. That's right.
We'd be the same.
In a £60,000 vehicle, eventually, in the next 15 years.
In a 60,000 grand minicab, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's all unfair. It's unjust. It's unfair. Once again, TfL are kicking us right where it hurts.
Yeah.
And it ain't by mistake, mate, yeah? So after I'd done it, a couple of days later, I spoke to loads of people, as you can imagine, took loads of calls. And then the ITA have called a series of demonstrations on the 26th of November on a Monday, which I'm going to fully support.
Yeah.
Because,
well, I think every individual taxi driver should, Grant. Forget, you know...
Me, exactly.
Forget the lanyard. It's down to each and every single cab driver. And that's where your battle is with them as well. Not groups.
Well, I'll tell you what, the battle is, as well. Yeah. As you know, Mick, I've driven a cab nearly 30 years. I still love the job.
Yeah.
Immensely love the job. Love the trade. Everything that being a cab driver has given me in my life. Yeah. The money, the freedom, the elasticity of working hours, right?
Mm.
But what is really starting to fuck me off really heavily is the attitude of cab drivers, right?
Oh, big time, Grant.
They're either fucking selfish, apathetic, couldn't give a toss, right?
Yeah.
And I'm starting to hate some drivers as much as TfL because you get some and all they want to do is talk about how other people should be helping us, yeah?
Yes.
But they don't even want to help themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And they won't have it, Mick. Yeah. They won't have GLA. You know, me and the committee went to the GLA and listened to it and was tweeting and informing the trade again what's going on. The only trade all that was there, but that's by the by, because I expected that, right?
Well,
We're doing all that, Mick, yeah? This is what I'm saying. This is from a club perspective. We're doing all that, and then you get utter f***ing anchors on Twitter. Yeah, done what you're going there for. They're wankers, yeah? It's a fucking waste of time. And you just think, well, we are going there to represent the cab trade.
Yeah.
So instead of even saying, what did they say, it's all negative.
Yeah.
Nah, they're wankers. We're wasting fucking time. Yeah. Well, don't you worry, pal, because you was out working, so you didn't waste no time, yeah?
That's right.
So don't bother moaning, yeah? If you're not going to say anything positive, you know what? Keep it shut, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. You know, there are certain places I go for dinner, lunch, whatever, in the afternoon. And it's like these, well, I call them the dinosaurs. And they're sitting around the table there, giving it the big un, moaning. But you never see them out demoing, but you always hear them keep moaning.
Well, Mick, again, what I'm saying to you, I'm getting the right pox of it, is this. Because, as you know, I'm out every night in the cab, and I'm eating in places, Sapori's or Astro or other places, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I do. I get these utter f***ers come up to me and they're not in nothing. I know they're not in nothing, yeah?
Yep.
And they come up and they, while I'm eating, they've got no fucking manners. They just come over, tap me on the shoulder. All right, Grant, what's going on with this bollocks? Blah, blah, blah. And they go, what do you mean? Well, he's shutting that down. What's they do? That TfL, they're about. And they're in nothing, right?
Yeah.
And they're in nothing. They wouldn't even give the club 50p a day to represent them. But they almost feel that they can come up to me and berate everything in the cab trade to get it off their chest.
Yes, that's
and then just go back to work. Yeah, you know what I mean? I've done my bit.
You've nailed it there, Grant. That's exactly what they're doing. They're berating you to get it off their chest and then they can go back to work. And
and they go, I'll see that, Grant. I said to him, what's going on now?
Yeah.
You know, I almost feel like saying, mate, do me a favour and jog on.
Or say,
you're winding me up.
Or say,
I've had it too much.
Yeah, or say, what did your group say? What did your all say or whatever, you know, and if he said, well, I'm not in one, well, mate, time you was.
I know, but it's like, you know, Mick, there's so many like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they go, I'm not in an org because they don't do school. And you say, well, what about if you joined and you got active with us?
That's
bollocks to that. So if half the trade's in nothing, but they're moaning about nothing gets done, you know, I'll be honest, and I'm not just saying it, if the half of the cab trade that weren't in nothing was in the club, Mick, I'm saying now in my life, we wouldn't be in this mess that we're in now.
Yeah.
I mean that 100%.
All right, Grant, thanks very much. Calm down, calm down. And while you calm down, let's have a song.
The Mick the Brit Podcast. just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Thompson Twins and Doctor Doctor, yes. I feel we need a doctor. And we continue with Grant Davis.
I really appreciate what the RMT are doing and the UCG are doing and that, right? I'm just saying, Mickey.
That's good. I noticed there's one omission there, and that brings me to another question, perhaps.
and what I'm saying by that, Mick, is I appreciate that, right? I'm coming from a club perspective.
Yes, yes.
Is if any cab drivers read the badge, you'd be under no illusion what's happening with the trade, yeah?
No, that's right.
And what the facts are. But it's almost like when I give the badge out at stations and they go, oh, not more doom and gloom. And you think, what do you want me to say?
Well, it's some badges.
Yeah. Have a cheap B&B.
Here's a diary for your windscreen.
Yeah, don't worry about it, yeah. Because this is your industry, your job,
yeah,
that pays your bills, yeah, puts your kids through uni. But they don't want to know about it, mate. I find it quite strange.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, there's only 20,000 of us in the whole world.
Yeah.
In the whole world. And yet half of that, you think of all what you've done to get your badge.
Oh, mate.
The knowledge, the sacrifices you made, your family made. And then they get this badge that gives them a London taxi driver. Like I said, iconic, world-famous cab. And half of them couldn't give a f*** what happens.
No.
What TfL do with them? Where's the fare increases? Where's the ranks going? What we're going to have? What's happening with the vehicle? What's happening with this? They just do not care. And I find that so hard to comprehend. That ain't me. That's never been me. I'm not saying... Oh, because I've always been with the club, right? And that, so I'm not a union man per se, but what I'd stand up for is the rights of my members and the rights cab trade, right?
Maintain conditions, maintain and improve conditions, shall we say.
Exactly. And that is what should be the remit of every trade org leader, right?
Yeah.
And that is, like I said, Mick, I was angry when I was doing the podcast at TfL, but I'm equally angry
with the cab
driver, the amount of drivers. Mm. And I'm not going to say the cab trade. I'm going to say the cab drivers. Because like you said,
individuals.
It's always the same drivers I see on the charity outings.
Yes.
It's always the same drivers on the demos, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think to all them other drivers out there, can you imagine if, and again, Mick, if we had one org, I would, if the LTDA was to collapse, and out of the ashes come one org, and me, or whoever, Trevor, and all people like that threw their hat in, had proper democratic elections. One org with 20,000 members, yeah?
It'd be nice.
Imagine that. Imagine that.
Oh, yeah. It would be nice.
TfL wouldn't fart without asking us, you know that.
When the RMT London Taxi branch started, and Bob Crowe was obviously, he was around then, and some guy, I think Paul Walsh went and spoke to him, and a few others, but Bob Crowe started out by saying Venezuela, some like these like South American places, and one or two other place. When we went, yeah, he said, those revolutions started with cab drivers. So he says, you have got a lot of power, so why don't you use it? Get out there and start using it, and we will back you.
But you know the only weakness for the cab driver is that we're self-employed?
Yeah.
And everyone's got different financial responsibilities.
Yeah.
And if you say to someone, like on the underground, where Bob could bring it on...
Well,
was that they was all employed.
That's right, and they're all under one roof. They were all under one roof, grant one depots and things like. We're all little individual pinpricks, if you like, spread out far off pinpricks.
Yeah, sorry.
On the map. Spread out far and wide, and that's the problem.
And also, as you know, you do a demo, and you got the others driving around picking up.
Oh, mate, I. Well, you know, I am getting like you. I'm fed up with the lethargy. You know, cab drivers not being bothered. And they just want to stick their heads in the sand like ostriches and carry on working. So I'm thinking that part of the next action should be part of it, Grant, should be embarrassing the f*** out of them and saying, come on now.
You can always take half a dozen eggs, right?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
No,
but I would make it harder for them to work. If look, don't work, mate. Just stop. You know, just park up somewhere and stop.
Don't rub our noses in it.
Yeah.
Fucking work.
Oh, mate. I mean, at St Pancras when we had that 5-day industrial action down there, they were blokes trying to go to work, and it was like, hold on a minute, mate. We ain't having this. Look what's happening here. What are you doing about it?
I've got to work. It's awful. Everyone's got to work.
Yeah.
Everyone's got mortgage and a cab to pay for and kids. But like I said, I think it was maybe a Bob Crowe statement. If you stand for nothing, you stand for everything, yeah?
Yeah.
And that's what I think TfL, they know they're not stupid. They're really trying it on with us now.
Yeah.
They get no opposition from the LTDA, right?
Nope.
They accept everything that comes down the pipe.
Yep.
So if you was in TfL's shoes, right?
Yeah.
And you looked at the state of the cab trade and you went, right, half are in nothing. They know that. Half are in nothing.
Yeah.
The other half are over there with Steve, yeah?
Well, are they? Is it another half, really?
Well, I don't know.
We've only got his word on that, haven't we?
Oh, no, but the majority, you've only got to drive around and see the diaries in the front, yeah? I'm not going to rule the toss over if he's got 7, 7.5, 8, 10.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, as an organisation, they don't come out. About 2 months ago, I had a meeting up at Woodfield Road. We was all there, the RMT, Andy was there, I think. And I said to Steve Mack over the table, I said, look, Steve, I said, I'll never say something to you behind your back. That's not me, right?
Hmm.
If I'm going to say something to you, I'll say it to your face. And whatever happens and whatever the consequences, it happens, yeah?
Hmm.
So I said to Steve, listen, how come I look at taxi and you never, ever have a go at TFL? After everything that's gone on, right?
Yeah.
And you know what he said to me? He said to me, well, I don't see the value in it, Grant. Yeah?
Well, it's a shame their members think that about him. So, what's the point? Yeah, exactly. What's the point of being with them? Don't see the value in it if they're not going to stand up for us. Yeah. And that's
a joke.
Yeah. Well, we consulted with them. Yeah. No, not consult, negotiate.
And like I said on my Periscope, what they do, they say, yeah, we had a consultation. But we're going to do it anyway, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Consultation is just that they tick the box saying, before you implemented it, did you hold a consultation?
That's right.
Yes, we did, yeah?
Yeah.
We didn't abide by it, but we had it.
No,
yeah.
Yeah, we went through the protocol of consultation.
Yeah, we went through the motion.
The farce.
That's
all they do.
They do it. They went through the farce, yeah?
Yeah.
And if cab drivers don't wake up and actually grow a pair of bollocks,
yes.
Right, it wouldn't be Uber, it'd be this mob at Palestra.
Yeah.
Because they, like I've always said, they licensed Uber. Yeah?
That's right.
And now they're restricting us getting around to do our job. So the public will say, I used to take a cab, but it ain't worth it because he can't drop me off down there anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think, Grant, we know for a fact they've lost a lot of money, TFL, and so they're trying to regain bus customers, aren't they?
Yeah, but as you know, the buses, the traffic's so bad because of the amount of private hire clogging the roads up.
Yeah, with their silly...
They're losing revenue off the buses.
They're silly cheap fares, so the people say, oh, no, I ain't going to mess about with... In fact, I've seen adverts out and about in the street. What, 2 minute walk? Nah, I'll get an Uber. You know, it was that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I put it out on Twitter. Now, they completely fucking TFL with that because they say, don't take a bus, take us. We'll be cheaper than a bus.
Yeah.
So, how can we, as a regulated taxi service, compete with this company?
You can't,
who say it's cheaper to go to, mile down the road than us on the bus.
Exactly. Or don't bother walking, get us. Yeah.
Yeah, and the buses got so much money as well in subsidies. We get none.
Yeah.
And it's even cheaper than a subsidised bus.
Yeah.
So what chance have you got? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad, really. I think it was Sunday. And then the day after Monday, that was when the Westminster Bridge work started, wasn't it? And at first, we weren't going to be allowed. And everyone's saying, oh, we're all right on Sunday, you know, when we're doing our bit for the vets, but not on Monday. And so they said, well, actually, buses and taxis going from the east side, well, the south of the river to the north of the river, buses and taxis, yes, but that's it.
Yeah,
they agree with that, though, don't they? They agree that buses and taxis exclusively. That should apply to everywhere, shouldn't it, Grant?
Well, listen, the ITA have come out and said something this week that the club say at rank meetings, right? And it's everywhere a bus goes, we should go.
Yes.
We've seen the success of it, like at Euston.
Yep.
Where you use the, instead of going through the underpass and that, you can do that bit along by the hospital, yeah?
Yeah.
You can cut through.
Yeah. Well,
the one at Druid Street.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Jamaica Road. It's all good.
Yeah, Turbridge Road, turn right there, can't you now? You come over Turbridge and then you can turn right and head up towards London Bridge.
That's right. Instead of getting caught in Druid Street where you get all that traffic, where there's that dog leg, and also, we've been fighting and fighting and fighting for things like Tower Hill. Bywood Street, where it goes straight down, where the barrier lifts up.
Yes.
A bit like Chelsea Harbour. We should have access there. Everywhere a bus goes, we should be too.
Yeah, absolutely right. Spot on, Grant. Grant, listen. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. We've been talking for over half hour here, so I'm gonna there's a lot of information there for people to take in, so Grant, I hope your tickly cough there gets better. And
I've had it for about 3 weeks.
In more cough lictus, Grant, in your coffee there. All right,
love.
All right,
onion lemon I've been on, but have a lovely weekend.
Yeah, that's what you call it. Yeah, and you, mate, and thanks again.
Yeah, lovely, mate. All right. God bless, and thanks very much.
All right, Grant, thank you for getting stuff off your chest there. All right, mate?
All right, Mick. Ta-da. Thanks a lot.
Ta-da.
Bye.
Thanks very much to Grant Davis of the LCDC.
Mick the Brit podcast.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through, 'cause you might be a little bit smarter than I am, big and stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me and you, boy, and as the years go by, our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Randy Newman, and you've got a friend in me. Yeah, thanks very much to Grant Davis there, chairman of the London Cab Drivers Club. I'm not even in his organisation. And he respects that I'm in a different organisation. Well, I'm in a union. But when I've reached out to members of prominence within my branch, they've kind of swerved me. So I'm going to redouble efforts to get somebody on from the RMT just to talk. For some reason they have been a little bit reluctant. I don't see why they should be reluctant, because they're, in my opinion, they're not doing themselves any favours. At least Grant Davis, he seemed to be being active when he goes, not necessarily on Twitter, but when he does these videos where he speaks to his members and, well, anyone else who might be interested. Now, you might say, well, he's just virtue signalling there, he's just bigging himself up. No, have that opinion, but I totally disagree. At least, at the very least, he seemed to be active. Yes, I know stuff goes on in the background, but we're not sort of hearing or seeing anything about it. And I'm not saying all cards should be delivered on the table, but what I am saying is profiles need to be lifted. All right, let's go back to... what have we got? Oh, we got another LTRVOC.
As soon as a demo's called, which it has been, you get 1,000 people saying, you should do this, you should do that. Why aren't you doing this? Shouldn't be there. Why ain't it that long? Why is it this long? Why is it only a couple of hours? Why ain't it all day? Always, why isn't? They never come up with a good reason or good idea to do, especially the ones who don't think demos work. They never come up with always reasons not to demo, never a reason to demo or come up with a good idea, against a demo or a good idea instead of a demo. There isn't a better idea instead of a demo. The political route's been tried, legal route's, ongoing. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You can do have a three-pronged attack. Political, legal, and industrial. And that's how it should be. And Jim, you're never going to get everyone on side with this. Some are about as on side as Mike Brown is. So you're never going to change that. But we just got to convince, we've just got to go ahead with it. Decide on it. We're doing it. We're doing it on the 26th. That's happening. More news to follow. But we've decided where we're doing it. There's no point in them keep coming up and going, why didn't you do this? Why don't you do that? It's happening on London Bridge, and we'll go from there. From little acorns, oak trees grow. We'll see. But that's what's happening. I don't care about those, the detractors. I don't care about them. We're doing it. And if they want to join in, they're welcome. But if they don't, shut the fucking mouths up. I'm fed up with hearing bollocks.
I've been thinking. I've had a cup of tea and thought about it. Why are we winding ourselves up anymore? Nobody's fucking listening, all right? Fuck them all. They deserve everything they get. Tell you what, they deserve it. You know, not only have we allowed ourselves to be walked all over, we've bought the fucking underlay.
What can I say, Malky? That you just read my mind, basically. Exactly. You know, all these people that put the demos down and say they don't work and they don't come up with any bright ideas themselves. They're not willing to call it, you know? So fuck them, as far as I'm concerned. And if anyone says anything on there and I see it, they're going to get both barrels, 100%.
So I've been up all night reading this document, 550 pages. I negotiated with 27 other nations. Firstly, it's a load of hogwash. It's a long way of saying nothing's happening. But anyway, I couldn't find anything in there about applying for hire, cab ranks, exhibiting availability on a screen. Nothing in there at all. So, really, nothing that's important to ordinary working people, as ever. Who cares about us? We're just a drone. Dun da dee dun 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 dee da dun da dun da dun da dee da dee. People have been on and said, what about the poor old yellow badge? Well, I can help the yellow badges as well. Let's say that suburban cab drivers are allowed to have an LPG gas conversion to their cab so they get a longer life. Also, right, if the suburban cab driver, and I do pity them because they've been turned over, the people that have turned them over is none other than the LTDA. Remember who was chairman of the LTDA? Sir Geoff Cayley, OBE and Bar, OK? When he decided to buy up all the local radio circuits, Arrow Radio cars, this, that and the other, and then get involved with the old Comcab and the 88s, actually taking away the work that they had so they had to go cabin hand to him to get a living. But there's lots that can be done about the suburban cab trade. All go on taxi app, OK? And make the local councils only use taxi app for transport of their special needs and all that kind of thing. Lots of constructive things can be done to help the suburban cab trade. What about the Crossrail stations? Half of them won't even have ranks. Who's in charge of that? The mayor. And the other one, Heidi High. It seems to me that Steve McNamara is effectively the Theresa May of the cab trade. Gives the impression of being in charge, but she's in charge of nothing.
I see, Paul, that you've inadvertently cast TfL in the role of the EU, the big, massive bully telling everyone how it's going to be. Well, they have to be stopped, obviously.
I don't want to get into the realms of geopolitics, but I'm not sure that EU can be cast in the role of the massive bully. We wanted to leave. So they held all the cards.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
And as we are recording this for the podcast, we're just getting news in now here. It's sort of Sunday. Guy's just been robbed and my cab attacked and damaged by these five young Arab lads on Oxford Street. They stole my dash cam. Any witnesses, please DM me. Good news is one left his phone, which has been handed over to the police. Any help is appreciated. And that's breaking news. Cabs are literally being attacked on Oxford Street. I'm sure more will be known about this as this story develops.
We'll be right back.
Suede, and She's in Fashion.
Whatever your taste, whatever your interests, there will be something for you in our programmes.
WhatsApp groups. Now, I'm a member of one. It's a big group of people, allegedly. Runs into the thousands, shall we say, of which quite a lot are proactive. But even on there, you get your Johnny Rah-Rahs. And with this talk of demonstrations, it always becomes tribal. Oh, such and such going to be supporting us. Will such and such support us? They should support us. No, it's down to the individual cab driver. Why don't you just worry about yourself and turn up? Because the groups, the orgs, guess what? They're all individual cab drivers. It's just a label that where they've got a collective philosophy, shall we say. Mindset. Together is better. Much like you. With the banner that you sit under here in your WhatsApp group. Now, I have no doubt that I am ridiculed and the piss taken and all the rest of it, and I ain't really bothered. Because why I say that, I put out something on there in a group this week, or was it last week, and nothing, not one reply, not one acknowledgement. And it went very quiet from the flow of traffic through that group, which I presume is because they all migrated over to another little secret group to take the piss or have their comments. You know who you are. So, anyway. I mean, you can't even get me interested in this, listening to London Taxi Radio, or actually contributing to London Taxi Radio. As that old statement goes, he without sin cast the first stone. All right.
This one where they're going for 50 grand for every driver for loss of earnings over the last...
Is that the figure that's been said?
That's what is read on there.
Lord, they've actually said...
They've actually said it. I read the stuff. I signed up for the email and I get the things and I'm just at the stage where they've sent me legal documents to electronically sign and I've stopped. Because when you read it... So they're going to go to Uber, they're going to make a case in court to get damages for every driver that's been working for more than 5 years, yeah? £50,000 each for loss of earnings. They're going to go to Uber for it. That's from what I read. That's what I understood it to be. But what when you read the things, when you read the notes, if they win the case, great, right? But you don't get all of it because they're taking quite a large sum in their fees.
20%?
40%, I
agree.
Yeah. But the work that if they lose, right,
yeah,
the insurance company that they're employing to pay for all the legal costs only covers 65%. So you've got 35% that the drivers have got to cover themselves, and they said, oh, it'll be a couple of hundred quid per cabbie. Well, it depends how many cabbies take it up. Also, the other thing is, Uber is so big, and the way that things work in the world, if it looks like they're going to win, Uber will probably do so, either take over the insurance company, buy them out, and then scupper them. And then there'll be nothing, and all the cabbies will end up doing it. And if we can't afford it and you end up with a huge, great legal bill, if you've got assets, they'll come for them.
Exactly. Yes, indeed.
Can you believe people's stupidity sometimes? One evening, the shelter is closed. Closes at 6 o'clock in the summer. It is now 7:30, 7:20 when the lights are off outside and I'm busy inside cleaning, to which there's a knock on the door, which I ignore because it's now an hour and a half after closing time. So another knock on the door, even louder this time. So I opened the door and said, yes, sorry, I'm closed. To which a sour-faced cab driver looks me deadpan in the face and said, well, your light's on. To which I explained, do you expect me to wash up in the dark? Stupid. How stupid can you be, really? You know, I'll stand there in the pitch black and wash up because if there's a light on in a building, you presume I am open. Even though the windows are closed, the signs are away, but I'm not allowed to wash up with the lights on. Crazy people. Crazy people.
Now, his cab that was parked on the rank, did he have his lights still on? Because you should have said that to him. You working because your light's on.
I wish I'd have looked. I mean, I had an argument. Yeah, I wish I'd have looked.
Thank you.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
Scissor Sisters and Laura.
For more than 10 years, there's been peace. Everyone to his own patch. We've all had it sweet. Well, now there's been an eruption. So f***ing Belfast on a bad night.
This week in Parliament, there was a debate regarding the taxi trade and private hire trade. With what was going on with Brexit, Theresa May, etc., it wasn't really publicised, didn't really feature high on the radar. So We did manage to get some bits out of it, and here's a couple of clips.
The situation ought to be clear in that taxis alone reserve the right to be able to be available for immediate hire, to be hailed either on the street or at a taxi rank. That has been a key privilege, recognising that licensed taxis are held to higher standards. They have to jump over higher bars and higher hurdles. They're more highly regulated than any other part of the system too. But I think it is increasingly clear that companies like Uber are absolutely flouting the spirit of the law when it comes to private applying for hire, and I think it's time for government to now to strengthen the letter of the law so there can be no room for confusion or ambiguity about where we stand on this particular issue. As we have seen this afternoon with the contribution of people right across the House, including former members of the Cabinet, former ministers responsible, it is very clear that there is strong cross-party support for the entirety of this report, and I hope it's on the basis of this report that the Department for Transport proceeds, and urgently.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Sir David. Dr. Johnson spoke of the virtues of travelling hopefully, but travelling hopefully depends on travelling efficiently, effectively, securely, and most of all, safely. And this excellent report, led by Professor Abdul Haq, the foreword says, and I quote, that the necessity is to chart a, quote, chart a future which ensured public safety for all. And it is public safety that lies at the heart of this report's work, and of our endeavours in debating it today. The recommendations of the report focus on how taxis are licensed and how that licensing is enforced and complied with. And compliance and enforcement are critical to a number of the recommendations. The establishment in recommendation 23 of a database which allows the exchange of information between licensing authorities to check on the bona fide of applicants is critical. The recommendation in 24 similarly, and throughout this report there is a focus on ensuring that those who apply for licenses are fit and proper people on who the public can rely. But there's a second issue, and that's the working conditions of drivers, and my rational friend referred to it earlier. It's absolutely clear to me that there is exploitation of drivers, that their working conditions are at best, and I put this most generously, variable, and the minimum standards are not being enforced currently. There is need for urgent reform. I'm not speaking, of course, of our black cab drivers, who are self-employed very largely, who determine their own working day and working year. And my right-wing friends' rights are celebrated worldwide for their quality. And it does seem to me to be extraordinary that we should be jeopardising that worldwide reputation for what modern economists call a disruptor. Well, I'm not a great fan of disruption. Of what works, Sir David. So I say that what matters more is doing what matters for the interests of the public not fixing things that ain't broke, in the case, very largely, of black cab drivers. But there are other issues here. Recommendation 33 and 34 address working conditions and speak of the exploitation of drivers and the need to enforce the national living wage. And the restriction on the number of hours that private hire vehicle drivers typically drive, on safety grounds. There are other recommendations on the proper treatment of disabled people. It is appalling that some blind people have been refused the proper entitlement to take their guide dog with them on a private hire car journey. And I'm delighted that that recommendation finds its form in this report.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
And we'll return to part two of that little chit-chat in Parliament, which happened the week just gone, after this. Bit of Curtis Hairston. Bit of soul on the Mick the Brit broadcast. Curtis Hairston, The Morning After. And during the week, there was a parliamentary debate about some sort of report. Anyway, they're all in agreement, even mentioning of getting applying for hire defined, etc., etc. They are urging the government, who have wasted 8 years in not listening and changing things, just holding out. They're urging the government and the Department of Transport to get this done now, and hopefully they will. So here's the second part of this parliamentary debate.
I'd like to congratulate my honourable friend, the Member for Cambridge, for securing this important debate and for the work he's been doing on the licensing of taxi and private hire vehicles. With his private members' bill, he's shown more initiative than the government to ensure that we legislate in this Parliament to require taxi and private hire vehicle licensing authorities in England to share information with other licensing authorities in order to prevent unsuitable people being granted licences. I should say that in our manifesto at the general election last year, the Labour Party pledged that we would reform the legislation governing taxi and private hire services, introducing national standards to guarantee safety and accessibility. And I would like to thank the Right Honourable Member of South Holland and the Deepings, who instigated the group's report, and I hope that his colleagues on the government benches will now act on it. So while we welcome the many recommendations in the Task and Finish group's report and the work of Professor Hack, it's frustrating stating that the government has failed so far to legislate during their 8 years in power, despite the calls of Labour and other opposition parties, trade unions, campaigners, and I will...
Merely to put on record the thanks the whole country should have to Professor Hack for leading this working party, the minister who set it up, many of the working party who I can see actually in the public gallery. But might not, even if the government don't want to move generally, there's one thing they could do, and that is to say, for those licensing authorities, they could act against companies such as Uber by insisting that people get the legal minimum rate for the hours that they're clocked on for work.
Thank you, Sir David. I'm grateful to my honourable friend's intervention, and I share his concern about the role of Uber in this and the need for urgent action to tackle the abuses. So while we welcome the recommendations, 8 years in power is a long time to leave this issue and to not tackle it, and I do think it's now time to move on. The government's hands-off approach to taxes and private hire vehicles means that they've been presiding over a race to the bottom on quality, accessibility, and also, as we've heard today, on safety. A number of serious incidents have demonstrated that taxi and private hire vehicle passengers are simply not adequately protected. So, David, as technology in the industry has evolved, our regulation of the taxi and private hire vehicle industry has simply failed to keep pace. The industry is changing rapidly, and yet the legal framework governing taxi services is almost 200 years old, while private hire services legislation dates from the mid-1970s in most of England and Wales and 1998 in London. The piecemeal evolution of the regulation of taxi and private hire services has resulted in a complex and indeed fragmented licensing system, where services differ greatly depending on where in the country you are. There are no national standards, resulting in a very variable picture, primarily with regards to quality, safety and accessibility. One of the most significant challenges facing the taxi trade that ministers have stalled over, but which my honourable friend, the member for Cambridge, has addressed with his bill, is indeed the issue of cross-border working by private hire vehicles. There have been concerns about private hire vehicles operating outside their licensed geographical areas, as we've heard today. It puts taxis at a competitive disadvantage, as they have to return to their licensed area after taking a fare outside their borough, unlike private hire vehicles. Some councils in the country hand out too many licences, clogging up the streets, as we've heard, and worsening congestion and air quality, as the Honourable Member for Ilford mentioned earlier. Illegal levels of air pollution cause 40,000 premature deaths each year, and they are indeed the UK's most severe public health crisis. Despite repeatedly dragging through the courts, the government has refused to act, including failing to include taxi and private hire vehicle policy as part of a wider clean air strategy, which I believe is quite a serious omission. Greater levels of investment in charging infrastructure and greater support for taxi and private hire vehicle companies who wish to switch to electric fleets is also required. However, in areas of illegal air quality, it may be better to reduce the total amount of traffic in one particular area. So I note with interest that the Task and Finish Group's recommendation that the government should allow legislation to enable local authorities where there's a proven need to set a cap on the number of taxi and private hire vehicles that they license. This proposal, Sir David, could help authorities to solve challenges around congestion, air quality and parking, and ensure appropriate provision of taxi and private hire services for passengers, while at the same time, and this is very important, maintaining drivers' working conditions, which we've heard about today. I'm interested in hearing the Minister's response to this specific point later. The implications of cross-border licensing arrangements for safety are, as we said earlier, deeply worrying. Local authorities are presently permitted to set their own fit and proper criteria for licensing. Dangerous private hire drivers are therefore able to operate in an area with stringent safety criteria, as my honourable friend, who's no longer in her place from Sheffield, Healy, mentioned earlier. And this is indeed something which we need to tackle. As a result, local authorities such as Rotherham and Oxford, which have set strict criteria following the instances of child sexual exploitation, are powerless to act in this cross-border matter.
The Mick the Brit Podcast.
Number one. 20 years ago, Share and Believe. I don't know about you, but I've had enough of this broadcast. I'm going to be whizzing through these to get to the end, all right? Back to Share.
No matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me aside.
Cher, number one 20 years ago with Believe. Number one 30 years ago was Enya and Orinoco Flow. Thank you, Enya. Number one 30 years ago with Orinoco Flow. And yes, that long hot summer from 1978 still going on. John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. Number one, 40 years ago, John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. I didn't mean to be rude to John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, Enya or Cher. I know they went to a lot of time and effort making those songs for you to listen to, but, well, we've heard them enough. So that was our 20, 30, 40. Number one songs from 20, 30 and 40 years ago. Thank you very much for downloading this and bearing with us all this time. There's a lot to take in this week. Next week, there'll probably hardly be anything. Don't forget, keep listening to londontaxiradio.co.uk. Just click on the player and you'll hear Cab Chat and you'll hear this as well, the Mick the Brit broadcast. And, of course, Sean Paul Day on LTR when he decides to do something. All right. Thanks very much again. We're back here roughly this time next week, so keep checking to download. All right. Have yourself a good one. Have a good week. Ta-da.
Good night and good luck to you all.